Sherry.
My eyes are a bit swollen.
Oh, we don't care. We love you anyway.
Have you lost a pet, have you?
Yes.
That's a bit sad. I had to put one down last year. It's not fun.
No.
All right. Well, welcome to October 2020 webinar. And all of those who are watching the recording, you've obviously missed out on the fun of the banter, but we'll enjoy our company while we're together here. So I'm in a new location and using my laptop computer for the first time. So it's landed me in Stonehenge. So that's my background. So here we go. All right, I'm going to pull up a PowerPoint slide just to remind me what we're talking about. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about was obviously, I think first and foremost, what's been on everybody's mind is the marketing that we've been working on all year. And, you know, we've all been keenly awaiting Derek's efforts to start to turn into some outcomes. And when I first met with Derek as a result of a recommendation from Kim, who's not on the call yet, maybe she'll be in later. Kim's getting some great results up there in Mackay where Derek lives, and she introduced me to Derek, and he kind of, you know, give it 3 months, we'll be underway. Well, coronavirus came, and in February, March, April, May, sort of the months went by. Finally in September we got to do some advertising. And we did get some results, but we also learnt some things. And so what I wanted to report in today was just what we've learnt so far and where we're heading with all of that. Because it may seem to spending planners like, well, we did a bit of marketing and like Facebook advertising, and then it's all stopped. But that is not the case. We've basically learnt a lot from what we did. So I'll just give you some statistics. We spent $855 on Facebook. We've spent more than that because we spent some on LinkedIn as well. But LinkedIn probably isn't the right place for the sort of where we'd be attracting clients for the spending planners. But the $855 that we spent in September generated 735 clicks. 673 of those were unique. So there was something like 62 people who came back and clicked again, or maybe there were some people that clicked three or four times. So they're definitely people who were more than just vaguely interested. So it was $1.16 per click, which I'm pretty excited about, really, because if we can get people clicking through to our website for $1.16, even if 1% of those end up taking action that's worthwhile, to me, that's a really, really good starting point. But early on, we basically were trying to get people to go to the Find a Spending Planner page. And I remember in a previous monthly webinar, having someone ask the question, this isn't what we were expecting, because I know at the start I said that we would generate the leads and then we would sell them. And my target figure was around about the $20 mark for a lead. But what Derek had actually done was he would just basically get people to the website, get them to the Find a Spending Planner page and encourage them to click on one of the spending planners, which was great. Basically, you guys weren't paying for leads. We were just working on generating them and to see what would happen. But we had a world map, which was sort of like a grand vision of in the future where we hope we'll have spending planners all around the world. But we discovered that was, we were losing people there. So we got rid of the map. That improved our outcomes. But the thing that we learned from it most of all was that we were driving people from our Facebook advertising to spendingplanning.com. And they were looking around on the website. We could track all of that and see what was happening. But then when they clicked on one of the spending planners on Find the Spending Planner, from that moment on, we had no idea what happened. And some of the spending planners, some of you guys have invested heavily in your websites and you've got really great material. You've got ethical bribes, as in, you know, I'll give you this if you'll give me your email address and sign up for my newsletter or whatever. So you've gone to a lot of trouble to get your marketing funnels working, but others have done absolutely nothing. And I realized that, you know, we were paying $1.16 to get someone to click through. And then if they clicked on somebody's Facebook page or website where there was nothing, it was just a waste of $1.16 because the click came, disappeared. We had no idea where they went, but they went nowhere. And so I said to Derek, this is no good. We need to control things from top to bottom. We need every person that comes in, that clicks, that comes to the website, we need to know exactly what they do, where they go. We need to totally control the experience so that we can develop and perfect the whole website and go back to plan A, which was for us to get them to click on something in exchange for a free whatever we're giving away, to develop a relationship with them and get them to the point where they'll click and say, you know, I want to take the next step and get someone to contact me, which then will come back to, okay, we've got somebody who's looking for a spending planner who wants them. So we realized that just getting people to come and click through to the Find a Spending Planner page, we couldn't track them, and there was not necessarily any quality marketing information that followed on after that. So we learned a lot, but we've stopped throwing money at it at the moment while we work on the next part of the funnel, which is getting our website so that we can make sure that the leads, we know where they go, we know what their experience is, and we get control over what happens. So there's still more work to be done, but we've learned a lot from the 1,000+ that we spent, and we know now that we can generate traffic and that we will be able to generate leads, but there's just more work to be done. Any questions about that?
So, David, in that, would you then have a list of questions when you're asking them for their lead funnel stuff and say if they're specialists or they're wanting help in this area, that area, you would then filter them off to the spending planner that you know has that strength, or how would you work?
Yeah, that's a question I haven't really thought of an answer to at this point. I'm guided a lot by Derek, and because he's got a lot of expertise in this area at this point in time, it will really be a case of suck it and see. You know, I imagine that we need to offer something to get people to say, yeah, that's something interesting. I'd like to get that, to read that report or download that, whatever. Once that's in place, we'll find out the next part. I mean, it really is the first bit is you've got to get someone to your site. The second bit is you've got to get them to take some action. The third bit is to take them, you know, like how many points of contact before they actually decide to do something. You can't get them to do the end action until you get them to do the first action. So you really have to sort of do it one step at a time and fine tune one step, then work on the next one, get that right, work on the next one. So it's a tedious process, but it's what we're up for.
Lose them by them going to another. You want to know where they've gone. So I totally understand keeping them on your.
Oh yeah, because we were losing. We had no idea what happened after they left the spending planning site, and we realised that was just we were throwing money at half of a marketing system, which was totally a waste of money. So.
My internet's a bit dodgy. I'm going to go off camera because I'm dropping in and out. So
yeah, okay. You're looking quite solid. So, oh, as in not yeah, look as in continuous. Yeah, got to choose my words. All right. So that's that. If any other questions, but it's certainly taken a lot longer than we had anticipated. But I think you guys know by now that I always try hard not to commit to time frames with anything to do with technology. Nick refuses to give me time frames on software development. And the few times that I have sort of said, oh, you know, maybe a week or two, I've ended up regretting ever even opening my mouth. So we're working on it is as far as I'm prepared to say. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next thing on my agenda, I've actually got the podcast down next. This week is our 52nd episode. Carolyn and I have been banging away at podcasting. Well, it's not a full year yet, is it, Carolyn? Because I think it was the
20th of November.
November.
Official launch, but this is the 52nd episode because we started really early last year doing the first four, which we call our exclusive episodes that weren't released to normal people.
That actually doesn't make sense, because if we did four before we launched, it's only the 8th of October. We shouldn't be up to 52 yet, but anyway, we are. Well, so
yeah, we should. I mean, we've done 52 episodes, but we started creating them, I guess, before. I'm not sure when the first one.
Anyway, we're up to 52. Anyway,
so that's a year's worth. So, you know. Yep. So yep. I said to David it was our anniversary, but he didn't give me a present or anything. It's a bit slow.
No. But what we have decided to make a little bit of a change to the format, just so that people recognise that there's something different, and starting after this week. So we've got 484 Facebook group members, and we've got 650 something likes. I'm not quite sure how that works, but anyway, we see it as a long-term strategy. Something that we everything that we're doing with spending planning, I see as a long-term strategy, unfortunately. I mean, I'd love everything to be do it now and get the results immediately. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way. So you've got to be there for the long haul.
Excuse me, David.
Yeah,
apparently Kim's in the waiting room.
Oh, and so is Barry. Thank you for... Thank you for alerting me to that, because if I'd have looked, I would have seen that.
Yeah, she sent me a message.
Sorry, Kim and Barry, I was oblivious to you in the waiting room. Barry hasn't got a microphone, so he can't respond. Oh, yes, he has now. And Kim, welcome. thanks, Marlene. Yeah, so we're just talking about long-term strategy. So I know... I have people contact me and I think, goodness me, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years since I spoke to this person. And the fact that I'm still here, it's like, okay, they're ready now to do something. Had their head in the sand for 5 years, 10 years, whatever. It's a long-term thing. So the podcast is coming of age. We've done our first year. And sometimes we've felt a little bit like we're running out of topics, and then other times we've kind of gone, oh, wow, we've got lots ahead of us. So one thing I did suggest a few weeks back, and no one took me up on it, but I'll put it out there again. Every one of you spending planners has got a story that we would love to feature in the podcast. We would love to interview you, because you've all got unique skills. You've all got a unique story to tell. And at least one episode could be dedicated to you telling your story, which would have to be good for you. So don't be backward in coming forward. Put your hand up and volunteer, and we'll have you on one of our episodes. It'll make life easy for us, and it'll help you get your profile built up. So,
also, David, on that note, because we're just starting a series on children and money over the next few weeks, and we did the introduction to that this week, which will go up next week. But what we said in there was that we want to interview some families with kids of different ages over the next few weeks to see how they manage money in their family and with their kids and what they actually do. So if any of the planners have got kids in those age groups, or clients with kids that they think yep. would love to be interviewed, we'd love to have them, and just tell them it's audio only, it's not video, we don't even use their names or anything. So it's just simply, what do you do with your kids and their money at different ages? And that would be really useful, because we just want to create content at the moment that's really good for families raising kids, talking about money.
Yep. Even I've got a good face for podcasting. So it doesn't matter what you look like, you just got to sound good. Yeah. Good. Good thought. Thank you.
You do it in your pajamas, really.
I'm in my moment, Cathy. Not really. All right. So, podcast, spending planning software. All right. So, earlier this year, we tackled the problem that we'd had for years with date creep. You guys probably all remember you'd select a date at the list of transactions, and depending on the time of the day, sometimes that date would go back by a day once you actually saved it. It was something that we all got used to, but it was certainly annoying and somewhat embarrassing with new clients having to say to them, oh, look, there's this little bit of a glitch. And basically the problem caused behind that was the fact that every browser, it looks at a date and it says a date on its own is no good, because where on the planet am I? Because I got to know when midnight is to if I'm going to change date. So if I'm in New York, midnight is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Australia, and midnight in Australia, it's, you know, 2 PM in, it's 10 hours ahead of Greenwich in London, whatever. So the browser adds a timestamp to every date. And when we were entering in dates, it was adding a timestamp to everything and then causing us grief. So Nick went, all right, I need to embrace this, seeing as how it seems to be an issue. So all of the data, all of the transactions, every date then got a timestamp, which supposedly was going to solve the problem. And in theory, it should have, but in practice, it really caused more problems than it resolved, as most of us have recognized. I think just about all of you have had clients where there were dates and things out of order, and we had to let Nick know who they were, what state they were in, and for him to run a batch file-y kind of thing, I can't remember the proper name for it, to fix up their timestamps on their dates. It also meant that as a spending planner, if you were in Queensland or any state and you had a client in another state, if you touched their data, you basically put a different timestamp on those transactions, which could throw things out of whack. So it was problematic. And now that was something that we learned. If you look at the world, it's divided up into time zones, which are basically 1 hour blocks. Australia is very unique because Adelaide and Darwin are 30 minutes. They're half a time zone. Nowhere else on the planet does that happen. So not long after we launched this whole new date system, we had people in South Australia mainly jumping up and down and saying, my spending plan's gone haywire. Because Adelaide and Darwin and anywhere in those two states were getting totally thrown out of whack because they're a 30-minute time zone, which really doesn't exist. So after lots of dealing with that and now daylight savings come in, Nick and I were talking about it the other week, and we were trying to come up with how we're going to solve the problem. And in the end, we decided trying to go forwards to sort of, now that we've introduced the timestamp, trying to actually improve on it, looked like it was just going to be more and more trouble. And so after a lot of research and head scratching, Nick has decided we're taking the timestamps off and we're turning dates into a string, which is not a date at all. It's just like a number, if you like. And it means that the date picker that we have been used to for entering dates onto transactions will be different. Now, I'm not quite sure how different or what it's going to look like. And it may also mean that we won't be able to sort transactions on our list, transaction list, by date. You know how you click on the headings, you can get different, you can sort by date or amount or whatever. We may not be able to sort by date on that list. And I know what Carolyn said to me the other day, oh, I do that all the time, which might be annoying, but according to Nick, fingers crossed, touch wood, all of that, and the changes, it was going to go up this weekend, but I'm going to be away all weekend, so it'll probably be Monday there'll be an update, and hopefully the whole date issue will just go away, and you will be able to work on your clients no matter where they are, because that whole timestamp issue will have gone away as well. So fingers crossed, touch wood, he's testing and at the moment, and all weekend we'll be testing before it goes live. Hopefully that will sort that out. The other thing, change that we made earlier in the year, we introduced on the dashboard where the graphing is, a detailed graph, thinking that we would make it easier for people to understand the intricacies of their figures, but it actually made things more difficult. And I would have spending planners send me, you know, my clients supposedly got this much spare money and this much on debt reduction and this much. Can you tell me where those figures come from? And I got to spend hours going through figures to verify that the numbers were correct. And in desperation, a couple of weeks ago, I said to Nick, look, this is just wasting my time. What we've got there has made it more complicated. It's not helping. Every time somebody asks me this question, I end up going into each of their accounts and writing down all of the figures from the summary and then using my calculator to add up all the figures and verify that it's correct. And he said, okay, so what about we get rid of that detailed graph and instead we actually make up a table that actually brings all of the account detailed into one place, adds it all up and shows you the totals, and you can see exactly where all of the figures come from. So that sounds to me like a great idea, and that will more than likely go live with this next update as well early next week. Another thing that you'll get when that update goes live is on all of the loans, Mark Venatelli from Western Australia put in a very convincing request to have a 30-year time frame on mortgages so that you can show somebody, you know, this mortgage could be paid out by a certain date, but if you change this behaviour, it could be paid out sooner. So you'll be able to project loans out for 30 years. So that could be useful. And the other thing that I needed to mention about software today, and I'm going to do a demonstration on this. If you've been watching the forum, you'll notice that Sam Boardman in South Australia was having an issue with a client getting pound symbols on their report rather than dollar signs. So I'm just going to minimize that, and I'm going to do a screen share, and I'll go to Spending Planner. So here I've just got a demo sample plan. Now, a lot of people haven't even had this problem, so some of you might be wondering what it's about. But if you go to the dashboard, for example, and click on any of the reports, so here's the income and expenses summary report. If you pull up the report, it's possible that you could have pounds or some other currency symbol there rather than dollars. And Sam was asking Nick, you know, why is this happening and how do we fix it? And we had no idea that it was even happening. I had actually seen pound symbols a couple of times, but thought not much of it. Turns out it's a local problem on your computer. So you can all see that I've got Google Chrome open, hopefully. If I just open another tab, you'd be aware that you've got these three dots over here, which apparently is called an ellipse. That's what Nick refers to it as. If you click on that and go to settings and scroll right down to advanced, at the very top it says language. And if you've got a problem where it's showing pound symbols, if you go to, you maybe have it set to English United Kingdom, but if you choose English United States, and I know some of us probably don't like the idea of, you know, choosing United States, but if you choose that and say display that and relaunch it, it will just stop my screen share for a moment, which I'll have to re-engage. That, if you've had a problem, should solve the problem. Okay, so it's that simple. Has anybody experienced that and not known how to solve that problem? If so, that should put it straight for you. All righty. I think that was the last thing about software. So there'll be an update early next week. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to, there was a few things, but the other thing I wanted to talk about today in particular is, I mean, marketing and a product, there are two things to be in business. You've got to have a great product and you've got to be able to sell it. If you've got the best product in the world and you can't sell it, you don't have a business. Well, we know we've got the best product in the world. We've also found that people are afraid to take that step because it might hurt. So a few months back, I suggested that some of you form pods, little groups, where you work together in small groups on your marketing. And I was speaking with Carolyn and about that, and she was saying that Carolyn and Kim and Marlene, weekly on a Thursday night, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night?
Yep.
Your pod's going along. So I was hoping to have a little bit of a chat with you guys to have a talk about what you guys do and how it all works and how well it's working and what you're learning. So, Carolyn, do you want to be the spokeslady?
Sure. I had a chat with Marlene this morning. I haven't had a chance to chat with Kim. So Kim's probably not even aware that we were going to be asked this today. So there you go, Kim, you've been thrown in the deep end. but essentially it started simply because we've, a few of us felt being in business is pretty lonely, and during COVID it got even lonelier, especially for the little extroverts out there like me. And I actually chatted with Kim and Marlene and suggested that, and I know they were already meeting and having regular chats with each other and just supporting each other in business. And so I'm kind of the interloper, but we've actually created a really nice supportive group. And we, as David said, we meet on a Thursday night, and our goal is to finish by 9:15. Sometimes it's a little later than that, but we do our best. And it's essentially, number one, for support, because we're all in this business together and we all struggle with the same things. And so it's about supporting each other in that, coming up with really creative ideas for how we can advertise and get the message out, you know. And we all have different experiences, so each of us have done different training with different people over the years, so we've learnt a lot of skills, and we're just sharing those skills and that knowledge that we have with each other. And we, in the last few weeks, we've actually started doing some advertising, and we decided that we'd be a little bit controversial with some of our advertising to get people off their bum and realise that, you know, they've actually got to do something to make their life different. And so we've done a little bit of advertising over the last few weeks. And again, what we actually did, and I'll share my screen in a minute, because what we did was created a Canva group where we have one. And I don't know, for those who aren't familiar with Canva, let me show you my screen because it will make a whole lot more sense. David, can I have...
Oh, yes. Sorry. It's all the new rules around...
I know. It's painful.
All participants. There you go.
All right. So let me just bring up the first one that we did. Where is it? We have so many in here. Girls, gosh, we've been busy. All right.
But okay. Have you been advertising on Facebook mainly?
We've been doing Facebook and LinkedIn. And yeah. So this was the first one that we actually put up, and we said, government handouts create a false sense of security. Now is the time to prepare yourself financially for the bubble to burst, right? And we actually targeted Victoria, Deb, because we decided that they were the most needy at the time. you were sitting in your little isolation bubble at the time. And we got a bit of conflicting stuff on that. Some people didn't like the fact that we called them government handouts, and even though we believe firmly that's what they are, but people don't like to think that they're actually... on handouts, but you know. So, but look, honestly, the fact that we created conversation was really good, right? Because we got people thinking and got people thinking about us and about spending planning, right? And so I know Kim, when she did it, she put up a different picture. I think the wording was still the same, wasn't it, Kim?
Yes, yes, it was.
Yeah, just with a different picture. This is another one that we did with the financial bubble about to burst. David and I have actually just done a podcast which goes up tomorrow, David, that one,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. About the financial bubble bursting. So what we've done is created this document where we have, I don't know how many now, because we've all been working on it. And what you can do with Canva is you can actually share. So up here on the right-hand side, there's actually a share button. And you can share your designs with others to view and edit. And so we all just go in here and we add our ideas and we add different images and different wording. And so every Thursday we kind of look at this and we look at what's working, what's not, how we can change things, how we can tweak things. And then we change it a little bit to our own demographic and to our own people, because I know Marlene targets more women business owners. And so she changes the wording and stuff. But what I have found, especially this week, and the one I actually did for this week was, and by the way, we're happy to share these with anyone as well. This one was really interesting because we've talked about the top 10, which then I realised was actually 11. I changed it to the top 11 essential transactions and what they actually came to, and we put that on Facebook, and that created a bit of conversation as well. So that was a good one. But this one that I just put up this week was somewhere here. Are you ready for? And this came out of the conversation this week. The government handouts are about to stop, right? A spending planner can show you how to manage your money well without government handouts. And obviously Kim and Marlene would put their own photo on that. But I did advertising on that this week. I did 4 days at $4, $5, so it was a $20 budget. And the number, David talked before about link clicks. Now, depending on the number of link clicks you get is how much it will actually cost you. And the cheaper, the more link clicks you get, the less it costs you. So my $20 budget over the 4 days ended up costing me just over $13. I had 4,200 people that were reached and 95 clicks to my website. And the link clicks, so it equaled about 35 cents a click, right? Which was a pretty impressive.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So I was really happy with that. So obviously that spoke to people, right? That wording or whatever it was, but that spoke to people. And even though I haven't had 95 clients out of that, I've got the word out to, you know, 4,200 people, and they're then thinking about spending planning. Now, as you know, you can go 12 months, 2 years, and someone will come to you and, oh, I've been following you for the last 12 months and now I've decided it's time to do something about it, you know. So anyway, that's one of the things we've been doing in our group. But Kim and Marlene, do you want to share a bit more about the benefits of us working together?
Do you want to go, Marlene?
Oh, yes, I will go. Yeah, I just find it's really good for just maintaining that motivation. When, you know, you're talking to people who are in the same sort of business as you are, and I always come away from the calls really energized and, you know, ready to go again. And I think, as Carolyn said, it can be a really lonely exercise being in business for yourself. And the other thing is, you know, I find that three heads are always better than one. So, you know, it's amazing the different perspectives we all have and different ideas that we throw around, you know, that can influence the way we're speaking about our service. So I find it really invaluable. I'd encourage everyone to form a pod, as you said, David, because I'm in other groups with other business owners, but it's not quite the same because they don't have that in-depth understanding of what we do and the problems that we solve. So I find it really, really useful. Yeah.
Cool. Kim, you went all disappeared there for a moment and you reappeared.
Sorry. No, sorry.
Disappeared into the palm tree.
my daughter turned the TV on in the other room and it was coming in. I had to quickly close the door. That's all right. So, yeah, Marlene said exactly what I was going to say. Yes, we do. We go away very invigorated after these chats and we give each other homework to do for the next week. So, you know, we all work on each of these ads and things every night, and the three heads is definitely better than one because one of us might be having a block on some wording or something, and like Marlene will jump in and she just has the right words. Caroline will do the pictures, I'll do the words, and then I might throw in a something, you know, like we did a video one with that fella jumping off the cliff, you know. So all together we seem to be working very cohesively together, which is really great.
Mm. Awesome. Because let's face it, if you have a business, you have to do marketing. Unless you've got a great bunch of people who are going to refer clients to you, because really you've only got two choices. You hang around with a bunch of people that love you and want to send their clients to you, or you've got to find the clients yourself. And whilst I've sort of made a longer term commitment with Derek to spend the money that needs to be spent to make all this happen, every one of you guys still have this responsibility to do, you know, marketing and putting your heads together. Each of you guys, I think this is what you've done. You've actually gone, this is a theme that we want to work on, but we'll all do a slightly different version of it and see who gets the best result.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So from that, you all three of you learn, whereas it could take you 3 weeks to test three similar advertisements on your own. In 1 week, you've all tested the same, you know, slightly different version of the same thing for a few dollars, and you can collate the results and go, okay, so this seems to be hit the spot better than that.
Yeah. And I think what we've learned in the last few weeks is that being a little bit controversial, as I said, and being a bit more hard hitting, sometimes I think we're just too soft with our message, you know, and we need to get a bit, you know, hey guys, it's time to wake up and take notice because the bubble's about to burst. Your government handout, which is what it is about to stop. So let's get real and let's get moving. You know, otherwise you're going to be sitting in your 2020 COVID bubble for the next 10 years. Until the next crisis.
Yep. Well, you've got to be controversial to get noticed, that's for sure. So, good. All right. Thanks for sharing that. So I would encourage anybody at all of you guys to get together with, and I think you would say that three is probably an ideal number.
Perfect. Yes. Any more, and there may be some that don't feel they're being heard as well, I think. But we work very cohesively together. There's no striking off each other. We're all similar, like-minded in our thoughts. Even though we go off on different tangents, we seem to be the opposite of clashing. We're working together.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I think that everybody needs to be aware of is that there's no need for anybody to be struggling to create material for their advertising because there is so much stuff available that you can to use. You don't need to create your own stuff. I mean, if you listen to the podcast every week, you'll get ideas that you could use for marketing. If you go to the simplybudgets.com.au website and look at my blog, there's a whole stack of blogs there that you could turn into a, okay, there's a theme. There's a whole bunch of things that you can pull out of one particular blog, for example. If you feel like you want to put stuff on Facebook but you don't know what to put, just send me an email. There's so much content that's available. You should never have a...
There's also your blogs, David, on spendingplanning.com, all the new ones. Yeah.
Yep, so they don't let material be a stumbling block. If that's the problem, we'll sort that out very quickly. So, All righty. Thank you for that. Carolyn, you were actually very proud yesterday afternoon when something arrived in the mail.
Oh,
want to share that?
Yeah, I'm going to show off, people, and I was really excited. So this is my new little book, which says My Journey from Money Mess to Money Success, plus 8 Ways to Solve Everyday Money Problems. So this is my little book. It's not a big book, it's just a little book, but I'm pretty excited by that. So I had 10 copies arrive here, 10 author copies arrive yesterday.
So you people can order them on Amazon, and you can order a hard copy, and they will print one book. Print on demand, I think they call it.
That's right. Yep. And author copies are only $5 each. So I thought, oh, what the heck? And I actually gave one away this morning because I went to my nail technician lady, and she's a young girl with 2 kids and has this plethora of people that she sees. And so I handed her a book and said, there you go, read that. And she said, oh, do you want it back when I'm finished? I said, no, I want you to just give it to somebody else.
Leave it in the waiting room.
Yes, that's right, exactly.
So every one of you guys should have a little book in you, at least a little one. I mean, Sam Boardman did one late last year. I know Anthea has got one that she sent me earlier this year to proofread. Carolyn's now done one. I've got one that I think Carolyn's going to help me with, because I've just been going nowhere with it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of words, but it just needs to all be tied together. So,
yeah.
And you know, once you're an author, you're famous, so that you can, that's another feather in your cap,
eh? Yes, I said to David, my monthly commission from Amazon this month was a total of $16.78. So,
hey, that's pretty good.
You might become famous. Don't expect to become rich, okay?
Well, the thing is, you've got to. I don't think the book sales ever make you rich, but it's the present. I mean, I got a phone call at 6:30 yesterday morning. I was just waking up and my phone rang, and I thought, who's ringing me at this time of the day? But it was actually a Triple M radio station on the Gold Coast. They got my phone number from ABC Radio at Illawarra, where I've done a number of interviews. We want to talk to somebody about the budget. Will you talk to us? And I'm thinking, I didn't even watch the budget. But yeah, I'll talk to you. So I said, give me 10 minutes to get up and get organised. And then we recorded. I don't know if it's gone live or what. But yeah, that's the sort of thing that happens. But you've got to be out there to get the phone calls, to get the interviews, to get the word happening. So, you know, David Wright from the Spending Planners Institute's here to talk to us about the budget. So Spending Planners Institute, spending planning, we've just got to be out there. You've got to get the word out. So everybody get in and write a book. Be a good idea. All right, the only other thing that I've got on my list to talk about is conference. Normally this time of the year, I'd already have you know, book your place, sort of going, we'd be, have people booking in. But 2020 has been a rather unusual year, as we all know. And I've done some research with you guys, got a limited amount of feedback earlier in the year about what you thought you would like it to be like. And the big question was, we face-to-face or are we virtual? And I don't really think there's a question about that now. It really has to be virtual, which is going to be a new experience. It'll also mean it's a lot cheaper. It'll also mean that nobody's going to have travel costs. There's no excuses of not being able to get there, or the cost of whatever, travel and so on. So we're just starting to get serious about planning for that, but it's going to be, I decided January is probably the best time. And I thought I'd just do it in one day, but then someone pointed out to me that we've got time zones sort of from New Zealand to Perth, and therefore it really would be better to do it 2 days, just sort of across the middle of the day, so we've got late starters and early starters all fitting into a reasonable time zone. So I think we sent out, Kathy sent something out last week or the week before asking for your ideas on keynote speakers and what topics. Haven't had a lot of feedback yet. So if you're one of the people sitting on that that email, get in there and send it back, because we'll have to start booking people in very shortly.
Can I just add something to that, David?
You can.
Just Kim and Marlene and I were having a chat about conference and the fact that personally, you know, I've done so many Zoom meetings and webinars and whatever this year. I'm a bit over spending hours and hours on Zoom. But I know that that's how we've got to do it, and that's great. But we thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to do it so that all of us were in the one room? And then that kind of evolved to, oh, we can have a girls' weekend away. And
without going away.
Yeah, and we could actually have some fun, and we could do conference as well, and then we could go out to dinner as a little group. And I said that to David, and I said, wouldn't it be great if we could encourage every state of Australia, like all the planners in the different states, to do a similar thing? So we had these little pods of people everywhere doing conference, coming together as a whole, but also being able to support and encourage and all the rest of it, and go out and enjoy their free time with one another as well. So that's just an idea that people can, you know, take on board and think about in your own little places, own little areas of this country.
That would make it actually a little bit of fun, as well as being safe and save the travelling and what have you. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, that's pretty much all that I had for today. Any other things that I haven't talked about that you wanted me to talk about? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I think we've covered most of it. But I would encourage people to get the pods happening. If you're not in a pod, get in one. If you're not in one and you don't know how to get in one, email us and we'll see if we can connect people together. And we're working on the marketing. There'll be an update on the software early next week, and conference, and I think that's about everything. So, yeah, cool.
All right, thanks again then, David and everybody.
Happy October.
Yeah,
it'll be over before we know it. Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And I think we've got one more for the year. And by then we'll have to have all of the details for conference sorted out. So